101.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
And their eyes were open. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
Yes.
And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? Yes. While we talked, while he talked with us by the way, yes, and while he opened unto us the scripture,
yes,
the journey to Emmaus, the journey to Emmaus. The greatest storm that history has ever witnessed had subsided. The surging mob had abandoned the streets.
Yes.
The cries of "Crucify him" had vanished into oblivion.
Yes.
The weak and the fearful and the intimidated had hidden. The church leaders of Judaism had been satisfied.
Yes.
That they had had their vengeance wrought upon this Nazarene carpenter who was being acclaimed by some as King of the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
The people who had been his immediate followers, who had cast their lots with him, and who had vowed their devotion, were now fearful and frightened and dispersed. And many of them were thinking about returning to their old occupation. Going back home. In fact, one or two of them voiced it. And the others joined in.
Yes.
And went back fishing.
Yes.
The man who had dared to criticize the altar of the temple. Yes, the man who had dared to challenge the system of procedure about the temple.
Yes,
and who had dared defy the Sadducees, the rulers of the temple.
Yes, sir.
Was now in a tomb. Jerusalem was obviously different now. For the Passover was complete, and the mendicant bands that journeyed from distant cities to Jerusalem were now back on the high roads. Back to their native land. But that little crowd, which witnessed the most awful sight that any man or any woman in any time had witnessed, were now grouping in couples and fearfully leaving Jerusalem inconspicuously. No, Jerusalem was not the same anymore. In fact, the world has not been the same since. I wonder, you praying with me tonight? Do you all feel bad tonight? The world has not been the same since Jesus died. There was something transforming about his life.
Yes, sir. All right.
So that anything that came in contact with it was never the same anymore.
Yes.
The carpenter shop at Nazareth was never the same since he worked at the carpenter bench there. The little jackass that he rode in Jerusalem rode into history. And has never been the same since. The stable where he was born was never the same. The tomb where they laid his body was never the same. The cross on which he was executed has never been the same. It's a different cross now. It is not looked upon as a thing of horror. It is not looked upon as we look upon gallows or a gas chamber anymore. It is an emblem that people proudly display and proudly embrace because Jesus died on it. Two of his, well, not only that, but you are not the same once you meet Jesus. You can never be the same once you meet Jesus. No wonder the songwriter exclaimed, things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Since Jesus changed this heart of mine. Well, leopards would testify, especially those that came in contact with Jesus would testify that one doesn't remain the same once he meet Jesus. For they met him lepers and were cleansed. A poor woman who had possibly exhausted all that she had trying to regain her health came in contact with him and was never the same. Something transforming about him. The man of Nazareth, the man Jesus, not only transformed those things, but he has transformed and influenced all time since he lived and died. The world is not the same anymore. To show you his import and impact on time and on history. Why, my God, if Jesus hadn't been here, no doubt we wouldn't have known about democracy. We wouldn't have known about the dignity of human personality. At least we would not have embraced it with the zeal with which we embrace it now. If Jesus had not lived and died, I dare say that a great many of the charities that we are the recipients of if we need them would not be in existence if Jesus had not been here. This Nazarene carpenter has touched and changed the lives of millions, yeah, billions, since he lived and since he died and since he arose. Our text tonight in the book of Luke, in the 24th chapter, tells a story of two of these followers of Jesus who have been tried by the crucifixion experience. The record gives only one of them, or one name, of the two that were walking to Emmaus from Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
His name was Cleophas. But I'm sure that you can fancy that you see these two men whose hearts were seized with fear and confusion, having witnessed the awful sight that they had witnessed in Jerusalem just 3 days previous. I said they left town inconspicuous because they knew that the man whom they had identified themselves with had been killed, shamefully crucified. They knew that his leaders were under suspicion.
Yes.
They knew it. They had walked with him. They had talked with him. They had heard him speak. They had witnessed his acts of healing. They had witnessed the miracles that he had wrought. And yet, all of these things became vain in the face of this awful tragedy that they had witnessed.
Yes. Come on, yes. Come on, Doc.
And they walked away from Jerusalem, resigned to give up and go back. On the road, they talked one to another about the awful thing that had happened.
Yes, sir. Come on. Yeah.
On the road, they recapitulated the Friday or the Thursday night in the Friday experience and all the subsequent events along the road. But in their dilemmas, going through this crisis, as they walked confused and disappointed and frustrated, Jesus joined them.
Yes, sir.
And inquired of them, why are you sad? Why are you downhearted? Why are you distressed? What has brought this awful feeling upon you? What has thrown you in the throes of this confusion? One of them said to him, are you a stranger around here? Aren't you up on current events? Haven't you heard what happened just 3 days ago in Jerusalem? A man of mighty works named Jesus was crucified and buried in a tomb. And the reason we feel as we feel, we had placed our hopes upon him.
Yes, sir.
We had thought that he came and was going to be a revolutionist. He was going to throw off the Roman yoke and reestablish the throne of David.
Yeah. Come on, sir.
We thought that in his wake would come all of the ambitious dreams of Hebrew people. But now he's dead. Now he's dead. Well, Jesus said to them, are you not familiar with the scriptures? Aren't you familiar with the messianic idea? Doesn't it teach that this man, Jesus, was to go through all of these things? You are Hebrews and you should be conversant with the teaching about the Messiah. Wasn't he supposed to endure this? Didn't the prophet say so? And then he said it and quoted prophet after prophet in his allusions to Jesus. And then I heard him say, oh, ye fool, how slow of heart, how blind you are, how clouded is your mind. Listen, if you please. And as he began to interpret to them the scriptures, the record is as he began to open up the scriptures.
Yes.
And as they approached the village of Emmaus, he made as if he was going on further.
Yes.
But they said to him, the day is ending. The evening shades are appearing. The western skies have turned to gold. Night's purple shadows are creeping upon us. And the night will soon have on its garment of darkness. Come on in and stay with us. According to desert law, you are a traveler. And we are going to extend to you the courtesy of our home. Come on in. Jesus came in. Jesus came in. What am I trying to say to you? Today, this day, tonight, if the world would take the time to contact Jesus, to adhere to his teaching, to open up their understanding to his way of life, the miseries and the suffering that we are having today at Easter time in 1956 could be so easily solved. As I think about how long it has been since the Prince of Peace has been here, as I think about how long it has been since he left his word and his way among us, and how slowly of heart we have been to grasp what he tried to leave with us and to exploit the legacy that he left among us. How slow and how far back on the road we are. Nearly 20 centuries have passed. And we are still evil. We are still mean. We are still unjust. We are still ungodly. We are still unrighteous. We are still unbrotherly. And he came to teach us the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man and to show us the highway of peace.
Oh, yeah. Come on, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead.
They invited him in. You know the story of how he went in. And when the evening meal was prepared, he sat down. They had not recognized him so far. They had walked with him, but they had not known him. They had talked with him, but they had not recognized him. They had invited him even into their home and still didn't know who he was. And I'm afraid today that too many of us are walking with him, at least walking in the crowd that bears his banner. And yet we do not really know him. We do not know him in the way that he influence and affect our lives so that we can have the kind of word that he died for us to have. He began to break bread. They didn't recognize his talking. They didn't recognize his teaching. They did not recognize him from the standpoint of features. But when he began to break bread, something about the way he broke bread dispelled their clouded minds. They'd seen him break bread before. They'd seen him break bread in many of their homes. They had seen him break bread, you know, for the thousands who were hungry in the desert one day. They had witnessed him breaking bread in the upper room in that last, or at that last supper. They knew his way and his manner. For there was something about the way Jesus broke bread. It was unlike anyone else. There was a sincerity. There was an earnestness. There was a devotion to God. There was something about his whole attitude that was unlike anyone else. For always when he broke bread, he thanked God. And they recognized his mannerisms in relation to breaking bread. And when they recognized him, they arose quickly and attempted to throw their arms around him. So relieved of the sorrow that had disturbed their hearts. So relieved of the disappointment that they had all known. They'd heard the rumors, for the women had said that he had arisen. They said that the angel said, he's not here. He's arisen as he said. They heard Peter report that he went down to the sepulcher. And he walked in and examined the grave clothes. Why, they reported that the grave clothes were all folded and arranged. And it wasn't like someone had left in a hurry. Someone had said an earthquake took place and the stone was rolled away. I wish you'd pray with me a little while. They'd heard all of these rumors. But you know, there's something different about knowing for yourself. It's good to hear about it. And it's good to enjoy the reports. Lord, but there's something about the Lord that's mighty sweet that you cannot enjoy unless you know it for yourself. It's wonderful to hear my testimony, and it's wonderful to hear me talk about what he'll do for you. But it's always better if you know it for yourself. I wish you'd pray with me a little while. Oh, Lord. And these men had just experienced something that was personal to them. They had seen the Lord for themselves. And when they lunged at him to grab him and haul him, yes, he vanished out of their sight. I don't believe you know what I mean. And they said, well, it was the Lord. He'd walk with us all the way along the road. And he'd talk with us all the way along the road. I knew it was something strange about him. I knew it was something fascinating about him. I knew it was something different about him. For I remember one thing distinctly. Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? Oh Lord, I remember my heart quivering and trembling. I remember my heart responding to every word he said. Oh Lord, I knew it must have been the Lord, but I didn't witness and I didn't recognize him when I saw him. Yes, I'd made up my mind to put this stuff behind me. I'd already decided that I was through with this thing called Jesus, this whole idea. But since I've seen him for myself, I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Since I've beheld him with my own eyes, and since I've recognized him to be who he was, yes, I'm going back to Jerusalem and tell the story. Oh, Lord, I know they killed him there, but I'm going on back. I don't believe you're praying with me here. Oh, Lord, I know they hung him on a cross up there, but I'm going back. Yes, I am. I know the crowd is fearful, but I'm going back. Oh, Lord, for once you see him for yourself, you get a new courage. You get new faith. You get new understanding. Isn't it so? Oh, Lord, if you just see him for yourself, yes, and those same cringing, cowardly men, those same men who'd been frightened out of their wits, went on back. back to Jerusalem. Yes. Let me tell you something. If you are a child of God, you ought to have courage. Isn't it so? Something that you ought to say and something that you ought to feel. Some stand that you ought to take and you ought not to be afraid. Yes. Like David said a long time ago. Shadow of death. I'll feel no evil, for I know he's with me. Oh, Lord, as I close this evening, let me tell you, one of his last words from a mountain one day, he said to them, go everywhere, preach and teach, and tell the world to observe all that I've told them to do. And lo, I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you. The encouraging thing to me tonight is, you know, to life, the Lord is still with me. He's not dead. The grave couldn't hold him. He's still with me. Maybe you don't know he's with you, but he's still with me. The nails could not nail him fast. He's still a living Christ. Yes, he is. Even I know he's a living Christ. He moved me. He made me do things that I don't feel like doing. He make me go when I don't feel like going. I know he's alive. A dead man wouldn't have that power over me. He is a living Christ. Isn't it so? I know he's alive tonight. And I not only know that he's alive, I'm glad that he's with me. I'm with you. When you're alone, I'm with you. When you're confused, I'm with you. Oh, Lord. When all of your friends have turned their backs on you, I'm with you. When you don't know which way to turn, remember, I'm with you. Yeah. He's still with us. He's still with us. You know he's with you tonight. Are you sure? In a changing world, the Lord is with you. I believe that he's with me tonight. And to me, he's not a myth. To me, he's not a fictional personality. He is a living Christ. To me, he did arise on Sunday morning. For dying stars, stole the whole round world. All power in him. All power. All power. Power to save. Power to heal. Power to lift up, bow down. Power to give ease to troubled mind.
Kelly's Sitting Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for over 27 years. Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellysServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
Information is powerful, but it's only powerful to the ears of the listeners. Public service announcements are very important to us here at KAYT KQJOFM.